We're starting a Kaf Yom Amud Bet. We saw it yesterday. We're up to the next case in the Mishnah where the Hakli Mitzaref Masha B'tocho L'Kodesh Avalo L'Truma. If you have a Kli and you have a bunch of things in it, so anything in it comes together, right? It all becomes Tameh. It's all considered one unit for Kodesh, but not for Truma. So then they asked, where did we learn this from? Rabbi Hanin learned it from Kaf Achat, which was a pasuk that talks about Kodeshim. And therefore, for Kodeshim, we assume that Kaf Achat, we could have just said Kaf. Kaf Achat means that everything is together. And then, from Rabbi Hanin's statement, we assume that Rabbi Hanin thinks that this is Midoraita. And that's going to be our problem. Because now we say, the Mishnah, there's a Mishnah in Adriot, which talks about this. And the Mishnah says, again, we'll read it like we read it yesterday, from the start to the end, even though it's not the order the Gemara brings it. Ha'iv Rabbi Shimon ben Miteru, were three lines from the bottom of Kaf Gimel Amud Bet. Al Efer Chatat Shenagah HaTameh B'Miktzato Shetimeh Et Kula. And then it says, Hosif Rabbi Akiva HaSolev Aktor V'Alevonah V'Hagchalim. Shim Nagat Fu Yom B'Miktzato Pasal Kula. Basically, the main halakha is referring to Chatat. And then it says, and Rabbi Akiva adds the Kodshim, right? The Ktorah, the Levonah, all those things. Now, first of all, if we say the din is midoraita, then it should have said the din midoraita is from Kafachat. Kafachat is a din by Kodshim, not by Chatat. So if Rabbi Shimon is saying that it's by Chatat, and then we're saying, plus it's also by Kodshim, this can't be a din midoraita. Because midoraita, there's no din of tseruf kli in chatat. It's only in kodshim. So therefore, number one, Rabbi Shimon can't be talking, has to be to Rabbanan. And plus, Rabbi Akiva, and therefore, if Hosif alav Rabbi Akiva, he must be adding to Rabbanan, just like Rabbi Shimon was talking about. So that's our problem now. So Rabbi Hanin said it's midoraita, and yet, it sounds like from the Mishnah that it's midorabbanan. So now what we're going to answer is that this case of kodshim that Rabbi Akiva adds is not your typical case of kodshim. Your typical case of kodshim is midoraita. What he's talking about in the Mishnah are atypical cases. Now we're going to try to work that out. Amar Rish Lakish Mishum Bar Kapar. Lo nitzricha ela l'shayre mincha deoraita. Ela l'shayre mincha. The Mishnah where Rabbi Akiva says that it's midorabbanan, okay, that Rabbi Akiva says that we add kodshim, and the assumption is that it's only on a Durabanan level. That's for the Shaira Mincha. What's Shaira Mincha? Do you remember we learned about Kmitza? You take your three fingers and you put it into the, you pick up the solet, and whatever's left is the Shaira Mincha. It has Kedusha to it, but it's not the same level as the Mincha itself. So now what do we say? Shaira Mincha Deoraita. Shaira Mincha. So the Shaira Mincha, now we have that. The Shaira Mincha. The Shaira Mincha are Dirabanan, and the regular Kodshim are Deoraita. And that's how we explain it. Okay? Mm-hmm. So now we have that. Mi Deoraita, we have Rabbi Hanin's din. Kafachat, Asara. That means Kodshim or Mi Deoraita, anything in the Kli, everything becomes Tameh. But when it comes to the Shaira Mincha, so what's the difference? What's the difference between the Shaira Mincha and those? Deoraita, Sarich Likli, Haklim Sarfo. She'ein sarich l'kli, ein kli mitzarfo. On a Deoraita level, if you need a kli, now what does this mean? There were klei kodesh in the Beit HaMikdash, and there were certain things that had to go into the kli, and when you put them in the kli, they became holy. That's what was makdish otam. So things that need to be put into a kli sharet, like the ktoret, the levonah, all those things go into a kli, the gechalim also. That makes them kodesh. Those things, midoraita, because the kli is so important, so the kli is mitzarev, everything in the kli. So if one thing is tameh, everything's tameh. But ein sarich kli, like the shayre mincha, which don't need a kli, then ein hakli mitzarfo. Okay? And then atu derabanan, and now comes Rabbi Akiva's Mishnah. Bau rabanan bigazru da'af agav she'eno sarich l'kli, kli mitzarfo. Okay, and they came and made a gzera that even if you don't need a kli like the Shaira Mincha, Then hakli mitzarfo, okay? The kli is mitzarfo in any case. And if you have one part that's tame, everything is tame. So that was the gzeirah d'rabbanan that Rabbi Akiva was talking about. This sounds great, except look at Rabbi Akiva's list. That works very well for the first thing on his list. Rabbi Akiva's list is hosif, hasolet, v'haktorah, v'alivona, v'aghalim. Mm-hmm. Now, ktorah, livona, solet, we can explain. It's not the solet of the mincha, it's the solet of the shayre mincha, v'seder. But the ktoret, the levona, and the gechalim, how could you explain that? Okay, because the solet, the ktoret, the gechalim are all tzarech kli. Mm-hmm. So they're all midoraita. So again, how do you say that Rabbi Akiva was talking on a drabana level? So now we have to find a case for those. Tinach solet. So, okay, solet makes sense. But ktoret u levona, and some of the girsaot actually say ugechalim also, because otherwise the gechalim just don't appear here at all. Ma'ika lememer, how can you explain them away, the last three things on his list? Amrav Nachman, Amrav Ravua, kigon Now remember, we're looking for a case where these would be only midrabana, would be tzeruf kli, because we already said that midaraita, they would have tzeruf kli. So, kigon shetzvaran al gabe kartavla. Doraita yesh lo toch mitzarif. Ein lo toch ein mitzarif. This is like a tray. Okay? If you have a tray that's flat, okay? So that's not a kli with, right? A kli normally we think of with sides. So when it's with sides, midoraita, everything is mitzarif. When it's a flat kli, midoraita, we don't say everything, right? A kaf. Mm-hmm. Think about it. It's whatever's like a kaf. A kaf has sides. Okay, it has a beit kibul, if you want to talk about it, right? Or here they talk, they actually use the words ein lo toch. It has no inside. It's just flat. So if it has, if it's, so now we're talking about the ktoret, levona, and gechalim, where you put them on a flat tray. So on a flat tray, Rabbi Akiva says, that's what we're adding midrabanan. Midrabanan, they're mitztarif, even though midoraita, they wouldn't be. Mm-hmm. And that's how we explain it. Okay. Now they say, upliga de Rabbi Chanin ad Rabbi Chia bar Abba. Okay, what Rabbi Chanin says, okay, until now we've explained, now again, this is really a bit of a stretch, right? But we've explained that Rabbi Chanin says it's midoraita, and we can explain Rabbi Akiva according to his understanding that Rabbi Akiva is talking about four cases that are not problematic midoraita. They're only, right, the kli wouldn't be mitzarif midoraita, it would only be midorabanan, and it would have to say that he was talking about shayre mincha, and he was talking about on a kli, on a flat kli for the other three things. Now we're going to learn that Rabbi Chanin isn't the only opinion. Okay, they're saying upliga de Rabbi Chia bar Abba, de Am Rabbi Chia bar Abba, Am Rabbi Yochanan meedutos she Rabbi Akiva nishne mishnazo. Okay, now what does he say? From the edut of Rabbi Akiva, we learn the halacha in our mishnah, which means that Rabbi Chia bar Abba understands Rabbi Akiva's mishnah simply, right? The simple understanding, which is that it's talking about all the basic cases of kodshim. In which case, you would have to say, Rabbi Akiva is only talking midrabanan, and then you'd have to say that he thinks that our Mishnah, he says, our Mishnah was learned out from Rabbi Akiva, which means that Rabbi Akiva is the basic case and not the extreme case, as we said. In which case, he holds that it's all midrabanan and it's not midoraita. Okay? What's interesting is, sometimes we've said that we've learned things from psukim, and yet they're not doraita, right? We say it's asmachta ba'alma. Mm-hmm. Right here, they don't answer that, but you'd have to say either he doesn't learn it out from that pasuk, or he learns it out from that pasuk and just says it's an asmachta. The Gemara doesn't really relate to that, but that seems to be the obvious thing that's going on here. Okay, now we're going to get to the next thing in our Mishnah. Harivi bakodesh pasul, Tanya. Okay, this is that when there comes to tuma. Okay, again, we're going to review something that we already, I think, have pretty basic. Sheni makes a shlishi only for truma and or for kodshin, and then a shlishi can make a revi only for kodshin. Okay, so now that's what the Mishnah is talking about. Harvi b'kodesh pasul and a shlishi b'truma pasul. Now they're going to try to find out what's the source for this. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yossi, minayin l'revi b'kodesh shehu pasul. How do we know that it goes up to revi? V'dinhu, it's a kavachomer. Uma mechusar kipurim shemutar b'truma pasul b'kodesh. Shlishi shapasul b'truma eino din sheyase revi l'kodesh. Here's a bit of a, so this kavachomer is not exactly comparing apples to apples, but anyway, this is how they go with the kavachomer. Mechusar kipurim. Okay, again, musagim we've seen recently. We'll review. It's someone who does all his tuma tara process in the 7 days, right? Whether it's a nazir or a zav or right, there's a bunch of tmei meit. What does he do? He does, you know, whatever he has to do in those 7 days. He goes to the mikvah on day number 7. As soon as he goes to the mikveh in the morning, okay, so we have morning of day seven, morning of the seventh, he's called the Tvul Yomnya. Okay, that was what we talked about yesterday. That once he's a Tvul Yom, he can already do the Parah Aduma. That was the Chiddush by Parah Aduma. Then, in the evening, he waits for Harav Shemesh, and then he's Tahor. Right? He's almost completely Tahor. He really is completely Tahor, except that he's missing one more piece to his picture, mm-hmm. and that's called the Mechusar Kippurim. Now, someone who's Mechusar Kippurim, the din is, he's not allowed to bring korbanot. Okay, he can't go into the Mikdash yet, but he, or eat kodashim, but he can eat truma. He's tahor, okay? He's tahor for truma purposes. So now what do they say? If a Mechusar Kippurim is mutar b'truma, okay, but he's pasul b'kodesh, he can't have kodashim yet, so a shlishi b'tuma, which is pasul b'truma, ein odin she'aseh revi l'kodesh. Okay, the assumption is the kal is the Mechusar Kippurim, because he can eat truma. The chamor is a shlishi, a food. That's why it's not exactly mm-hmm. comparable. It's mm-hmm. talking about a food, okay? But the food is a shlishi, and that, right, is puzzle. It's puzzle for truma. So if that's mm-hmm. mutar b'truma, and you can't eat kodshim, so obviously a shlishi is going to be able to create a revi, okay? Be puzzle the kodesh. It's not exactly parallel, because the first one is you can't eat it, and the second is it puzzles it. It doesn't work 100%, but that's what he says. That's his kal v'chomer. Shlishi b'kodesh min ha-Torah minayim. Where do we get a shlishi? Tichtiv v'habasar asher yiga b'chol tamei lo ye'achel. Okay, the meat that touches any tuma should not be eaten. Mi lo askinan denaga b'sheni v'kam rachmana lo ye'achel. Okay, they're saying, what does it mean, b'chol tameh? Kol tameh must come to include something. So if it's not including a sheni, because that would be obvious, it therefore includes a shlishi. Okay? Habasari yeshiyah, b'chol tameh includes one more level, and that's for truma. And revi mikal v'chomer, and that's hadamaran. That's what we already said. Okay. U'b'truma im nitmet. Okay, now, before we start, I just want to read the whole thing in the Mishnah, because they're going to be medayik from the lesson of the Mishnah, so pay attention. The Mishnah on Kaf Amud Bet says, "Im nitmet achab miyadav." Okay, sorry. Ubetruma, betruma im nitmet achab miyadav chaverta tahora. If one of your hands becomes tame, the other one is not. Ubekodesh matbil shtehen. If you're dealing with kodeshim, one hand is tame, the other one becomes tame also. Now, they're gonna. Here's the duplicity, okay? The part that doesn't really belong here, or not necessary. Shehayab mitameh chavarta b'kodesh, aval lo b'truma. That's basically repeating the same thing, right? Saying, why? Because, right? Because of the same thing, right? Okay? Because the yad is mitameh, the other, for kodesh, but not b'truma. Okay? It's basically saying the same thing. You wouldn't have needed those words. So now let's see. First thing to know is Rav Shizbi says, I'm Rav Shizbi b'chiburin shanu. There's different explanations. I'm going to just go with one explanation. It's going to be simpler. Okay. This is one hand. This is my tahor hand, okay? My right hand is tameh. My left hand is tahor. And my left hand is now going to touch kodesh. We call this mechubarin when my right hand is touching my left hand at the same time that my left hand is touching the kodesh food. Okay, so tameh touches tahor hand touches food. Mm-hmm. That's what he says, b'chiburin. That's the only case where we're going to assume that one hand is metameh the other hand. And the assumption is that what's our concern? That maybe accidentally your hand will touch the kodesh. We're making a gzera to prevent your hand from possibly accidentally touching the kodesh. Okay, so he says it's b'chiburin. Aval shelo b'chiburin, lo. But if they're not attached, then no. Etive Abaye now asks a question. He says, we have a Mishnah. Is it a Mishnah? I think it's a Braita. We have a Braita that says this. Yad niguva, if the hand is dry, then it's mitame chaverta. Okay, so hand number one is tame. Hand number two is tahor. Okay, if hand number one is dry, touches hand number... Okay, we don't know yet if it's touching or not. So here it says, this is where he's going to try to say that it could be even if it's not touching. If it's dry, it's mitame chaverta. To what level? Litame lekodesh, avalo litruma. Okay? He says that it's metame kodesh, but it's not metame truma. Divrei Rebbe. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, lifsol avalo litame. Okay, now, what's the machloket between them? The machloket between them is, when this hand touches the kodshim, what do we say the kodshim is? Is it a shlishi? In which case, it can be metame more kodshim. Okay? Or is it just calling it a ravi? We're just going to say, even though my hand is a sheni, you touch my other hand, we're going to say that this is a ravi. That's their machloket. Okay? Their machloket is not so relevant for our issue, really. Okay? The issue is, each of them say, though, this yad neguva touches the hand, touches that, and makes it pasul. Okay? Now, maybe shlishi, maybe ravi, right? Maybe you can still go one more level farther, that this item can now be matami something else, or maybe it's just pasul. Once you say it's pasul, that means it's pasul, but it can't be matami anything else. Now, we're going to try to read this Mishnah based on whether it's chiburin or not chiburin, okay? Whether the hands are attached or not attached. Iyamar bishlama shelo b'chiburim hainu ribute dineguva. Ela iyamar b'chiburin in shelo b'chiburin lo my ribute dineguva. Okay. What's the difference if your hand is dry or your hand is wet? So now we have to get to basics. If your hand is wet and it doesn't touch the other hand, right? Let's say we say shelo b'mechubarin. I have this hand is tame, this hand picks up the kodshim. We want to say this whole thing, right, that this is tame. It won't make a difference whether this hand is wet or this hand is dry, because this hand isn't touching this hand. The only time where wet or dry makes a difference is if this hand touches the other hand. Why? Remember, if this hand is tame, it's a sheni, right? Yadayim shniyot. What happens now? This hand is wet. What happens to the water? What did we say? Mashkin, because of mashkin shizavu, like from azav and things, you know, where we have spit and things like that, are so chamor. The chachamim goes around any mashkin that they go back up a level to rishon. So if this hand has water on it, the water becomes a rishon because it's touching a sheni, right? And mashkin become rishon. When I touch my other hand, miyah becomes a sheni.
And now
it's going to touch the kodshim and make it a shlishi or a vi. And if it touches truma, it'll make the truma problematic.
With pri, it was an issue only if it had ever been wet, not only if it
So there's wet with two different, there's two different issues of wet. One is this issue of mashkin that are tume'im, okay? You're talking about hukshar lekabel tuma. That's a separate thing.
Okay.
That's that something can't contract tuma unless it's gotten wet. That's when you're talking about food and stuff. Here we're talking about, well, the assumption is we're talking about kodshim that have come in contact with water at some point.
Well, your hand always will live at some point. Huh?
No, not your hand. Your hand is not an issue. Your hand becomes tummy no matter what, right?
Okay.
We never have an issue with your hand. It has to be hukshar lekabel tuma, right? That's why it relates to food.
Okay.
So the kodshim that we're talking about, I assume this is our kodshim, was clearly had at some point come in contact with water. Otherwise, we wouldn't even be talking about tuma when it comes to it. But the point is that the difference between rituva and yivesha would only be if they're touching. Because if they're not touching, then rituva and yivesha is exactly the same thing. So they're saying the fact that this braita uses yad niguva must mean that they're talking about mechubarim when there's a difference between neguva and rituva. Okay? Okay. So itmar nami. Okay, so that's a problem. Okay? Itmar nami, Amar Rish Lakish. Now, there doesn't seem to be an answer to this. Okay, he brings up this problem and we don't really answer it up. One second. Did I explain it to you? Shalob chiburin, hayne ributa dineguva. Shalob chiburin, my ributa dineguva. One second. I'm getting confused for a second. Iyamar bishlama shelo b'chiburin hayne ributa dineguva. Sorry, when it's not mechubar, that's when there's a... Is that how I explain it? When it's not b'chiburin, that's when there's a difference between neguva and rituva. No, didn't I say the opposite?
The opposite.
Yeah, so I messed something up. One second. Tama hayne ributa dineguva af min neguva hi kashe nag'a b'zeo shamna yamayam mashkan shubin shehen rishonim. me set up 1 second. Okay, give me a second. All the time. Yeah, Rabbi Shmuel Shalom Chiburim. Ah, okay. If you're going to say that it was lo mechubar, okay, so that's the chiddush of the yad neguva, because when the yad hatzme'ah, 1 second, if they're not attached, right, they're not touching, yad hatzme'ah hilecha.
They're saying that the dry hand would usually not make it.
What do you mean, not make it?
Here it says, if you say that the second hand becomes impure even when it is not in contact with food, this would explain the noteworthiness of a dry hand rendering its counterpart impure. It teaches that even though normally a dry hand would not render another hand impure, the sages nevertheless declared it impure with regard to sacrificial food. But here's the Bishlama. But if you say that when the second hand is in contact with sacrificial food, yes, the decree that the second hand becomes impure applies, lest the impure hand touches the sacrificial food directly. But when it is not in contact, no, the decree does not apply. Then what is the noteworthiness of stating that it applies in the case of a dry hand? They're questioning it. That's the Bishlama.
You want to explain that in your own words? Because I didn't follow with reading.
So it sounds like that usually the dry hand would not, it needed to be wet, not dry.
In order to contract tuma, right? Because
right.
A dry hand doesn't, but it would if.
So that's why they're saying, so he's saying that it's an exception. Up above, they're objecting to.
Oh, I know
above.
What this is. I'm sorry. Okay, I missed one step. Shalom b'chiburin is that the hand touched the other hand, and okay, I remember
it, but
now.
It didn't
okay.
Come in contact with it.
Lo b'chiburin. That's why I messed up. Lo b'chiburin means that it touched it at some point and isn't touching it right now.
Okay.
Okay. That was the main thing that I forgot. Okay. What did I say from the beginning? That if this hand is touching this hand, and this hand is touching this hand, what's the concern? That this hand might accidentally touch this hand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's our concern. Now, if this hand touched this hand and is no longer touching that hand,
mm-hmm.
then what would be the issue? The issue would be that it would turn, if this hand was, 1 second, shelo b'chiburin, if it was wet, right? Okay, the whole question is, are we worried that this hand is going to touch this hand when they're not actually in contact with each other right now? And that's what it means. Only for neguva we'd be concerned to make the gzerah, because if it was rituvah, this hand, when it touched this hand in the first place,
so much
it already contracted the tumah. It already made this hand tameh. And this hand is obviously going to be then metameh, what it has in its hand. But if this hand
was dry
when it touched this hand earlier. Okay, again, that's why I said there's different interpretations of exactly how this mechubarim and lo mechubarim works. But
mm-hmm.
that's the way we're going to go.
Mm-hmm.
This hand, when it touched this hand earlier and now isn't touching it anymore,
mm-hmm.
well, it didn't do anything, right? And that's the difference. When it's yavesh,
mm-hmm.
that's the chiddush then. Because then, when this hand, which has no tumah on it now, touches this, and it has another hand all the way over there, which is tameh, we're still concerned, that's the chiddush, we're concerned that maybe this will come in contact with this hand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
With direct.
But, yeah. Direct contact. But if they're attached, right, then the only concern is that maybe this hand will accidentally touch the other hand, and then it should make no difference whether this hand is ratuv or this hand is yavesh.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what, we're concerned that it's going to touch the other one, and that's the issue.
So ratuv is a okay.
Okay, that was the part I forgot, that the ratuv means that it touched the hand earlier and isn't touching right now, isn't touching anymore, is the way you would say.
And the ratuv has to be either a touched water or...
The ratuv just means it has water on it. Once it has water on it, the water that's on his hand becomes a rishon. And when it touches the other hand becomes a sheni. And then that's not the gzeirah we're talking about here, because, right, because that means that this is truma even, it would be... And certainly it would be Kodesh, because then your hand, your other hand that was Tohar to begin with, now is Tameh. Okay? And if the hand is now Tameh, well, then it's going to be, right? The whole point to remember here is that we're talking about a gzera, not actual tumah being transferred. Mm-hmm. We're talking about a concern that maybe the Tameh hand will touch the Kodesh because they're close to each other, right? Or even if they're not close to each other, if one is in one hand, just like we saw yesterday with the sandal, and then you move the sandal onto the thing, and you can't have things too close to each other. That's our concern here. Mm-hmm. So that concern would only be a concern for Yad Neguva if they're not attached right now, because then it would try, right? But if they're touching, then the concern is a concern whether your hand is wet or your hand is dry. It doesn't matter, okay? It would be a concern anyway.
But they weren't worried. That's not what it was, but like, it's Jerusalem. It's hot and people are sweaty. And
people's hands are always wet.
Well, they're not worried about that. I mean, it has to be outside.
Well, Yad Neguva means it's dried. Right, they dried it. It's almost right, like it was dried. You dried up your hand. It's totally, completely dry, and yet you're touching.
It sounds like almost like they were in the middle of the process of the ball to dying. They dried it. One hand is wet. One hand is dry.
Could be right. It could be they toveled it. Maybe, I don't know.
Well, here,
no, but if they toveled it, then it wouldn't be tummy anymore.
Right, but one hand would still be if it hasn't been dried yet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what I'm saying? Depending on, I don't know.
No, but they're talking about tummy hand. I don't think you've toveled it right now. That's my sense. Okay. So, Itmar Nami, Amar Ish Lakish, Lo Shanu Ela Yad, Aval Yad Chavero Lo. Ish Lakish says, if your friend's hand is touching your hand, which is touching the Kodshim, and your friend's hand is Tame, that doesn't work. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Chad Yadov V'Chad Yad Chavero. Okay, that works. Ba'otah Hayad. If you're talking about two hands, basically. One hand touching one hand, which is, right, Tame hand touching Tower hand, which is touching Kodshim. Lifsol avalolatame. Okay, this parcels the food, but it doesn't mitame the food. It doesn't make it into a shlishi, right? It makes it into a revi. Mimai, where do we learn this from? How do we know? Now we're going back to the be'otahayad. Midekatane sefer. Here we go back to the lashon of the Mishnah. Shahayad mitama chevrata lekodesh avalolatruma. Hatulamali. Why do you need it to say this sentence, right? It already said that it's you have to tovel that hand, right? So why would it say Hayam etamach haverta lekodesh avalo letruma elalav shma mina la tuya yad chavero? Okay, it comes to include that hayab mitamach haverta. They understand chaverta doesn't mean its other hand, but it could mean someone else's hand. Okay, that's what they learn from the lashon of the Mishnah. Va'af Rish Lakish hadarbe. When Rish Lakish heard this, he agreed with Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, he changed his mind and he said, "You're right. It is mitame someone else." Da Amar Rabbi Yona, Amar Rabbi Ami, Amar Rish Lakish, Echad Yado veEchad Yad Chavero, Bota Hayad Lifsol Avalo Letame. Okay, now we're going to get into this Lifsol Avalo Letame. Is it a shlishi or is it a revi? Right, Lifsol Avalo Letame means it becomes a revi, not a shlishi. Tanaihi is a machloket Tanaim. Ditnan, Kol Haposel Betruma Mitame Yadaim Liot Shniot, V'ya Mitame Chaverta Devrei Rabbi Yoshua. Okay, anything that's Posel Truma, okay, is mitame yadayim liyot shniot. If it makes truma pasul, then if your hands touch it, your hands become a sheni. V'yad mitame chaverta. And then your hand is mitame your other hand. Divrei Rabbi Yeshua or someone else's hand. V'chachamim umrim yadayim shniot hen ve'ein sheni osa sheni. Okay, so now first the Gemara assumes, when they're trying to say this machloka tanaim, my lav sheni hu delo avid, ha shlishi avid. Okay, so now what do they say? The kol pasel b'truma, the Tanakhama says kol pasel b'truma mitamei adam liyot shniyo, and yad mitamei chaverta. The assumption is that the yad is mitamei the other yad to become a sheni, a shlishi, and then the shlishi makes it into revi'i. And the other guy says ein sheni osa sheni, right? Means, 1 second, I'm going to make sure I'm getting this right again. Okay, sorry. I said it wrong. The yeah, it's after the opposite. The first case is saying, and then that would make it into a shlishi. In other words, one yad makes the other one tameh, and then just like the second one is tameh, it's going to be metameh the next thing to be a shlishi. But then, yadayim shniot hem be'en sheni osa sheni. Hands are shniot, and a hand can't make another hand into a sheni. So they say, what does that mean? My love sheni hu delavit hashlishi avit. It would make the other hand into a shlishi, which means that when the second hand comes in contact with something, it makes it into a vi. And that's the machloket. So whether it makes it a shlishi or a vi, and whether it can contract to him or not. So they say, no. Maybe when it says ain't sheni or sheni, it doesn't mean but it can make a shlishi. Dilma, lo sheni aviv, lo shlishi. In other words, maybe it can't ever make another hand. In other words, he's got a different opinion, bichlal, that one hand can't make the other hand tame at all. Ela kihane tnai. So now they say, okay, so we're going to say it's a different machloka tanaim. Detanya, yad niguva, mitame et chaverta letame bekodesh, avalo letruma divrei rebbe. A dry hand, this is our case, right? That's exactly what we saw before. The dry hand is mitame chaverta, litame bekodesh, avalo letruma. What does it mean, litame bekodesh? To make it tame, in which it can also be mitame something else. Because if you don't say pasul, you say tame, that means it's tame, and it can pass on truma to something else. So he says it can make it a shlishi. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ota, ya lipsol avalo letame. He says, right, that hand can only possibly, can only make it a revi, but it can't be mitame. So you see that the machloket we learned before is exactly that machloket, whether you make it into a shlishi or you make it into a revi. And that's the same machloket, right, the same issue that Rabbi Yochanan said, and Rish Lakish, they both agreed, that it's lipsol avalo letame, that it makes it into a revi. They said this, but you should just know it's a machloket tanaim. Not everybody agreed with that, okay? Ochlin ochalim niguvim biyadayim mesuavot. Okay, this is if you have dry food, right? That never can. Now we're getting to the food, the dry when it comes, right? Here we had the dry when it comes to contracting tumah. Now, right, mashkin. Now we're talking about uchshar lekabel tumah. So if you have food that was never came in contact with water, are you allowed to eat it with tameh hands? If it's truma, yes. If it's kodshim, we're machmir. Tanya, Amir Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus, v'chi yesh niguva lekodesh, v'lo chibata kodesh machshartan. What's this issue of huchshar lekabel tuma? Something that water has never come in contact with, or liquid has never come in contact with, it doesn't have chashivut. In order for something to become tameh, it has to be considered something of importance. So now, while generally with most things we say it doesn't have importance unless it's come in contact with a liquid, kodshim is a different story. Because kodshim has chibata kodesh. You love it because you're bringing it for kodesh. Mm-hmm. That in itself creates significance that it makes it ushar lekabel tuma. In which case, that goes against our mishnah, because our mishnah seems to imply it's a chumrah, but only, right, not a halachic thing. It's a gzera they made specifically by kodshim. Lotzricha kegon shetachav lo chavero letoch piv, o shetachav hu la'atzmo bekusher bekarkur, ubikesh lechol tznon ubatzal shechulin imahem. Lekodesh gazru b'hu rabanan, letshuma lo gazru b'hu rabanan. Okay, here's this case. This is the case of our mishnah. When you say we're going to eat it with yadayim mesuavot, the case is where you're not actually touching the food. Because the assumption here is, if you're actually touching the food, clearly you would transfer tuma, even if it's dry, because that's what we said, chibana kodesh machshartan. But here it's a case where somebody stuck it into his mouth, or he used a stick, okay? With the food was on a stick, and he ate it off the stick without actually any tuma passing, okay? Without the, because if he would touch the, right, in the case of the kushan, the karkur, if he touches it, right, they're pshute klei eitz, they're not makabalim tuma, that's why, okay? These are flat things, they're not makabal tuma. So what happens? He holds this in his hand. He never touches the food, right? So if he doesn't touch the food, right? You ever see this with people who get stuck with netilat yadayim and they can't do netilat yadayim? They'll hold it in a mapa, right? This whole sugya about it. Can you do that? Can you not do it? But right, if you're not touching it, so here you're not touching it, but at the same time you're eating this kodshim, okay? You have a mouthful of food. You also want to eat. It's known in batzal shochulim, right? You like to add some. Right, spices to your meat, okay? So you're eating steak on a stick with some onions. Yafeh? Okay. Now, what's the concern? There were gozer that maybe if you have this other food in your mouth that you're allowed to touch, maybe you'll put your hand in your mouth and touch the pulim, right? Maybe you'll, or, you know, maybe you'll get close to the kodshim, and because you know you can touch that, and you'll accidentally touch the other thing. That's the gzera. But when it comes to truma, lo gaz rabbeinu rabbanan. In other words, if you have truma in your mouth at the same time as hulim, we're not worried you're going to touch the truma, but when it comes to kodshim, they were gozer. Okay. Last case for today. Ha'onen u'muchusar kipurim, my taima. Why do they need tefillah, right? These guys, remember, with the onen, first of all, assuming he hasn't come in contact with the mate yet, okay? That's not the issue. It's not a tmei mate. If it was a tmei mate, he'd need a whole process, right? But here, he wasn't nitma lamate, but he was patur from all these things, right? And he couldn't eat the truma when you're in onen. You're not allowed to. Or kodshim. And the mechusar kipurim, remember, he went to the mikveh in the morning, he's a tful yom. Then he waited for Har Shemesh, he's tahor lagamre. But he's still missing this part of the korban. So why did they need to do tefillah? The Mechusar Kippur particularly already did tefillah, right? Why do they need tefillah before they can eat kodshim? My taima, kevan de'ada idna havu asire, atzrochina rabbanan tefillah. What's unique about both these guys? Both of them can't eat their kodshim. Sorry, the onen can't eat truma, he can't eat kodshim. Both of them can't eat kodshim. And now the aninu time is over, right? And the mechusar kippurim, he's now taking care of his korban. He can now eat kodshim. So what do they say? Since you were in this state before where you couldn't, you need to kind of make a separation. Mm-hmm. That's to mark that now I can, you tovel in the mikvah. Okay? It's sort of, I was thinking, it's like, at the end of a fast, people daven marav, right? You don't have to daven marav. I mean, there's issues. You want to daven marav before you eat. You might forget. But often for people, that's like the break, right? It signifies, okay, the fast is over. Like, you want some sort of formal event, even though halachically there's no significance to that, right? That's what they're saying here, that's what this case is about. Okay, you need some formal separation. Now, I'm not going to go back and go through each case, but if you got a sense of the last few cases that we did, these are really gzeirot that are much more rechukim from, right, than the first few cases we saw. And if you remember, they said the first five were connected to Doraita and the second five weren't. You can see now what they're talking about. These are already just a gzeirah, like to make a separation so that you don't accidentally come to touch it, right? There's no real tumantara stuff going on here. It's just more an issue of we want it right, gzeirot, as opposed to the earlier cases where it was much more formalized and, you know, connected more so to text and understanding of it. Okay, we'll start tomorrow with the Mishnah. Tomorrow we're going to learn at 7:45, okay? And Sunday we'll do if it works for you, Arab Yom Kippur, I don't know, 7:45. And if it works, and Sunday we're going to do our Siyum, okay? See how far we get tomorrow. I think the Yom Kippur daf, I think everyone will learn on their own. I'll look it over and I'll decide how much time on, because I want to have some time on Sunday for Siyum and for finishing the daf. The daf is very short, so maybe we could do some of the, maybe we'll start from the Mishnah, actually. I don't know. You know, I'll look over the material before tomorrow and we'll decide tomorrow. Thank you.